Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Our next guest literally just arrived back to the United States last evening from Italy. And Basil Russo is the president of the Italian Sons and Daughters of America, and he joins us on the Big K Morning Show. Basil, good morning.
Good morning. Nice to be with you.
Paul Rasmussen, our anchorman, and I, very interested in the story. And a surprise, you had written a op piece for the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette that the Pennsylvania Commonwealth Court ruled unanimously 7-0 to reinstate a lawsuit to prevent the removal of Pittsburgh's Columbus statue from Schenley Park. How long a process has this been?
Well, we filed a lawsuit over 3 years ago, and the judge dismissed it about a year and a half ago. We filed our appeal, and we received, as you indicated, a unanimous verdict from the Commonwealth Court, which is in effect the appellate court, reinstating the case, indicating that the judge had not handled it properly and that he needed to reinstitute the case and hear it appropriately.
My question is, now that it's going back to the Judge McVeigh, this common appeals judge, this is the same judge that dismissed the suit. What kind of mistakes were made there?
Well, the judge did not give us the opportunity to have a hearing with respect to the case, to present the evidence that we had, and oftentimes when you get controversial cases such as this, it's easier to look for a way to try and avoid having to take a position on an issue that might offend one group or another group. So typically the out is to dismiss the case for standing or some other reason where you don't actually have to issue an opinion on the merits.
So why do people want to remove this statue? What's the message that you've been getting from them, and are they right or are they wrong?
Absolutely wrong. The problem we have here is that you have a lot of well-intentioned but misinformed individuals that are relying on a lot of factually incorrect information. Those that claim that they want to remove the statue will make outlandish claims about Columbus that are not supported by primary source material. What that means is they're not supported by quotes and writings that existed at the time that the man lived, by people that knew him and by people that knew the circumstances. You've got people writing about this 400 and 500 years after the incident occurred, trying to state what they believe could have happened back then, or what they, or how they attempt to interpret what was said back then, and you get a lot of false information, and that's exactly what's going on here. You know, Columbus is very, very important to not only the Italian American community, but to the immigrant community in general. When our people came here between 1880 and 1920, about 4 million Italians came to the United States from impoverished little towns in southern Italy looking for work because they were starving to death in Italy. They came over here. Many of them came through the port of New Orleans because at that time slaves had been emancipated and the people that ran the sugarcane industry were looking for dirt cheap labor to process and cut the sugarcane. So they brought these immigrants over, paid them next to nothing, and had them work in the fields. The problem developed in 1891 when the police chief of that city was shot, and he allegedly claimed that he was shot by, quote, the Dagos, unquote. That supposedly was made to one individual, and despite the fact that the chief lived for another day or so thereafter and talked to other people, he allegedly never made that claim against anybody else. Despite that, there was so much animosity toward Italian immigrants at the time, they went out and they rounded up 200 immigrants, locked them all up, put nine of them on trial. The jury found none of them guilty of anything. Despite that fact, they were taken back to the prison. Town business leaders and political leaders got the community riled up about this. They had 5,000 plus people turn out, and those people shot, beat, and lynched 11 of those Italian immigrants. This was the largest mass lynching in American history because of the number of people that participated in the lynching. And yet you don't see one word about that in any of our school's history books. Well, now, despite that, this wasn't an isolated incident. There were 40 other lynchings within the next 30 years thereafter of Italian immigrants as well. So our people had a lot to contend with when they arrived in this country, a lot of prejudice, a lot of hostility, a lot of violence.
Well, all right. Well, Basil, before we run out of time, what is the next move after this Pennsylvania Commonwealth Court ruling to prevent the removal of the Columbus statue, not only in Schenley Park, but other locations around the country? What does this mean in terms of a timeline next? Are you going to be able to unwrap that statue soon, or are you still hopeful that's a possibility?
The statue, to my understanding, is unwrapped at this point in time. The we want to have our day in court. The facts are, the truth is on our side. And if we have an opportunity to present truthful facts, we're going to win the case. And, you know, this isn't a question, we shouldn't have situations where one group is pitted against another group and there has to be a winner and there has to be a loser. That's not a healthy situation for anybody. We need to find ways to mutually respect each other's histories and to support one another. And we feel that if we tell the truth about Columbus, other groups will respect and support our history. We, in turn, will respect and support their history as well. We've submitted a proposal to the court indicating that we're prepared to help the Indigenous Peoples Community erect a statue of their own in Schenley Park, honoring one of their heroes, and that we would also put in a audio facility that would allow people to be educated about what the truthful facts are concerning not only Columbus, but whomever the Indigenous people choose to erect a statue to honor as well.
All right,
so
Basil.
Win-win situation.
We appreciate you taking time, and thank you, and we'll follow the story.
All right, appreciate you having me. Take care.
You got it. Basil Russo, who is the president of the Italian Sons and Daughters of America, and it'll be interesting to see, because that statue has been part of, there was a wave of the cancel culture, right, taking down a lot of different statues all over the country. So I'm curious.
Including Thomas Jefferson.
Right. If it goes back to the same judge.
Including a statue with Abraham Lincoln.
Right. So.
Including statues that were erected after the Civil War that were built with donations, set up with donations from blacks who fought on the Union side. Black soldiers.
Yeah, so it'll be interesting to see.
It is interesting that the it is interesting that the judge has a really tough problem on his hand, because the Arts Commission recommended removing the statue. Then Mayor Bill Peduto at that time agreed with the decision, and then we get the lawsuit.
Even though he has an Italian-American background, interesting. Mm-hmm. So we'll see where it goes. Oh, by the way, the Columbus Day Parade is October 12th and does include indigenous people in this town, in Little Italy, which is Bloomfield. Every Wednesday, Marty and I have checked in with his wife, Christine Sorensen, in the 9 o'clock hour. So Christine, gracious enough to still visit, talk about Kidsburg, but she'll also be on with Marty as he moves to his... I feel like those days on television when they said, now at an all-new time. Remember that one they used to...
I do. Yeah, no, I mean, I love coming here and talking with both of you about Kidsburg and Marty about family stuff. So I think it'll be great. We can really do some great Kidsburg stuff, and then we can talk more about family and all the other good stuff
we'll
Marty
make the
talk
most
about.
Of it for yeah. sure. How is the yeah. crew? So you had Sophia graduate.
Right?
Well, not graduate.
Yeah,
done
finished
with
her first year. Yeah, she's
home. I can't believe how fast that went.
It flew. And Pitt does finish very early compared to a lot of schools. Some kids go, you know, through mid to early May. So she's home early, but she's already working and she's getting her groove on, but taking a little time to relax. She had a great first year. She loved Pitt.
And Marty said she has to make, what, $1,000 a month at minimum?
That's the goal.
Okay.
That's the goal, but she started already. I give her some credit.
And I got to see Vince. He came in with Marty last Thursday.
That's right. Take your kid to work day.
It's great to see him, man. He's growing up, too.
He's so fast. I can't believe it. He's at that age where puberty is happening, and he is, like, growing an inch by the day, I swear.
You know, one day he's just going to walk in and say, hi, Mom. And you're going to be...
We're getting close.
Yes, okay. So let's talk about Kidsburg. You have something for kids involving golf.
Yeah, I have a story on this afternoon on KDKA TV News at 4 and 5 about this really wonderful golf program. It's free. And Dr. William Curtis in East Liberty, he's the senior pastor at Mount Ararat Baptist Church. He was passionate about golf. And he said, what can I do to bring my passion in line with my career as a pastor? And so he found a way to create a golf camp for kids, particularly in the urban and more disadvantaged setting, kids who most of them have never been exposed to any golf at all. And so he offers this free program at the church where kids go and they learn about golf from professionals. It's this really fun program. Have you ever seen this before where kids learn inside, like in a gym?
No. Well, I think it's a great idea.
Yeah, they have special clubs, you know, that are different so that, and special balls so that, you know, it's different inside. They have mats that they practice on. Then they make it fun for kids who are maybe a little younger. It's not just like, you know, a boring putting green or whatever. It's hoops you go through and all kind of fun things to make golf really fun. And then what I also love about this is he wants to teach them not just about how to play golf, but also all the cool jobs that support golf, whether it's marketing or running the course or all of the, you know, even down to the sponsorships. You know, there's so many things that go into this massive sport, and he wants to introduce these kids. So it's free. There are more programs going on this summer and year-round, and go to kdka.com/Kidsburg, and I'll have that info for you there.
I would think, Christine, that professional golf organizations would really support this. So this may grow.
They are involved. The professional golf organizations are involved. They are supporting it financially and with pros coming. And then once the kids do learn inside, they get to go outside to a course and actually play a little bit later after they finish learning inside.
Outstanding.
Yeah.
Next, I always appreciate the work that's being done in this town in particular to help children and their moms and dads and families who are on the autism spectrum.
Yeah, and, you know, it's hard when you have a child and you see something's different, but you're not sure what, and you don't know what to do, where to go to, and that's really where this article on Kidsburg starts. It's autism support, where to go, what to ask, and a whole lot more. So there's a wonderful discussion with Dr. Stephanie Fox, who's a licensed psychologist specializing in autism at UPMC Western Behavioral Health. They're specifically for their Center for Autism and Developmental Disorders. So she answers so many questions in plain English, makes it very understandable. Things like, you know, what are some signs that maybe you should get looked at? How does the diagnostic process work? What are some misperceptions? And then things about if your child is diagnosed, what kind of therapies? Why is it important to start early? And then even looking beyond that, you know, some long-term things about what can I expect for my child in the long term and some strategies for helping if your child does have autism. So I hope anyone who might have any questions about that will check that article out because it's really great. It's at kidsburg.org.
And it looks like a huge weekend overall. We have the annual Pittsburgh Marathon that brings thousands and thousands of people from all over in, including other countries.
Oh my gosh. Our daughter's boyfriend is running the half marathon, and I was telling her how fun it is to go and watch and cheer on. I mean, I've gone to it before, and there's bands, and it's like almost like a community festival feel.
We talked to a young mom who's a teacher who's been training for this. She's run one full marathon before, and I asked her about the crowds. Does that really help? She said she's not from here. She moved here from Nevada. And she said that the people of Pittsburgh and that support, it's almost like a Steeler tailgate. It's a big party, but that really energizes the runners.
Oh, I can imagine. I mean, how much more fun and how much better is it going to be if you're running past crowds and people are saying, you can do it, versus
instead
silence.
Of, you're a loser. All right. There are other events going on for kids.
Yeah, and I will mention, I was going to mention the marathon, but the kids marathons at Toddler Trot, they're all sold out. So if you want to do it early next year. But Remake Learning Days starts tomorrow and it goes through May 22nd. There are hundreds of cool events related to learning all throughout our region. So check that out. The Powder Mill Avian Research Center has these really cool guided tours where you get to see bird banding up close. And then FIPS starts its flower show this weekend. The theme is Under the Sea and Butterfly Forest, and that is always spectacular.
And you can go to kidsburg.org and look for Christine's story about this unique opportunity for golf and young people in our hometown. That's cool. Four and five, right?
Yes, exactly. It'll be on at 4 and 5 and then on kidsburg.org and kdka.com/kidsburg.
And well, Marty's going to be coming in and you're sticking around, right?
Yeah.
I do want to ask you about that show that you did for the 20th anniversary of PTL.
Right.
Obviously, you were a huge part of that.
It was a blast. It was so fantastic.
I heard it was tremendous. It was at the Pittsburgh Playhouse, which is at Point Park University.
It was honestly one of the most professional productions I've been a part of, and I was so impressed with the KDKA PTL producers who put it together. It was quite an undertaking. They got they went out and got video from so many of the regulars people would remember, like Andy Amrine, Doug Oster, Bill Fuller, Rainya, Leslie Bonsi. I mean, all the folks that I remember. And so seeing them on screen was wonderful. And then at the end, a lot of them were back and felt like a big reunion. Jennifer and Koviak and I were a part of it. It was really a really fun time.
When can we see? The 20th anniversary is May 10th, right?
And that's when that show will air. On Friday, May 10th on PTL. And then it will air multiple other times as well. And then all week, they have special segments. In fact, I know they told me today there's a piece that I'm part of for the 20th anniversary that will be leading up over the next, you know, this week and next week leading up to it.
Christine, thanks.
Yeah, thank you.
Marty will be joining us next. Coming up 10 until 2, Marty Griffin. And to kick off this Wednesday morning, his wife, Christine Sorensen, already here talking about Kidsburg. And Marty, can you explain for us how this works with your Patrick is here.
Yeah.
And you're live on, you got like 3D video going here. Facebook. What is it, Facebook? X.
Wow. What is it?
Look at the excitement of Patrick's face with this technological leap.
Really?
Anyway.
Larry's still using an abacus here.
What's
We're
up?
Cool, man. I love having him. You know, Patrick's my man. Man, we had some wild radio yesterday that Patrick was very involved in. it kind of scared the hell out of me, quite frankly. This woman, we had her on for a full hour, maybe more, I don't know. She's been in an emergency room at the Washington Hospital since Sunday. So here we are, what are we, is this Wednesday? Yeah, I lose track. Sitting in a chair with her son, Patrick, right? Violently autistic. And these are her words, not mine. He could kill himself, he could kill others. Larry, this is going to rip your heart up, but this woman told me, and I looked this up, and this is fair, honey. My wife's here. There are cases where parents find it so difficult to find care for their violently autistic kids that they kill their kid and then kill themselves. Right, Patrick? Mm. And this data is out there, Larry. Mm. She camped in the Washington Hospital Sunday till now. She's there right now. She's been there this whole time until she can get psychiatric help for her son. So I had this revelation about this. This is legit, ma'am. This is an insane problem. Look, UPMC had to look through its whole system. Larry, its entire system couldn't find one bed for this young man. I'm not kidding you. And they tried like hell. My point is, man, we got to do better in this country. Come on, Larry. There's what? No place for her son, Larry. They're in a damn emergency room in the greatest country on earth. I'm serious about this. So we're going to get into that. And let me say this, we have good news on that front, and we're not giving up until this is resolved. And I got to tell you this, the folks at Washington Hospital have been amazing to try and help this young man, because she just showed up in their ER, man. He was in a halfway house, and they were worried he was going to hurt someone or hurt himself, and here we are. God bless them, but there are hundreds of thousands of parents out there that have nowhere to go with their kids, Larry. None. Zero, brother.
Can't even imagine.
I can't, ma'am.
What that's like.
Can we bitch about, I don't have enough dressing on my salad. No, I'm serious about this. We got my boy Ron Layton at the top of the show.
He's great.
He's a brilliant man. Couple things. And Larry, I think we mentioned this. If Trump ends up in contempt of court and gets sent to jail, even for a day, what the hell do they do, Larry, with him? Is Secret Service in there? No, really. What do they do? He's going to tell us. I'm fascinated by this.
It's unprecedented.
It is. It's historic.
Everything they do in that courtroom is history in the making, and one's 100% sure where it's going to go.
You want to hear something aggravating as hell? Kevin Krause's Sheriff's Department has been kicking ass, okay? Going all over the country, bringing these vagabonds in that this Ornstein guy let go, okay?
Right.
Guess what it's cost them so far to bring these guys back? Just take a guess and aim high. $60,000.
Jeez. Whoa.
Out of Kevin Krause's wallet, his budget in essence. They should dock Ornstein's pay. For those who say it doesn't matter, he's just doing what he's supposed to do. We're going to get into that. Also, they're changing the marijuana laws. Finally, it's not a controlled substance. This is a good thing, by the way. Especially for you, Larry. You can now smoke in peace.
Well, it's been a problem for the federal issues, you know, with legal things and businesses.
They can't do banking.
Right. It's been a real problem.
It's horrible.
So it makes sense.
So there's a break.
So people who don't understand, at the federal level, marijuana is still a Schedule I drug on the same par as heroin, meth, and LSD.
Yeah. Which is stupid.
All these states that have legalized either A, medical marijuana, and or B, recreational marijuana, are in federal violation that they turn their head on.
Right on.
But what about the people that have been convicted of marijuana crimes?
It's actually a fascinating discussion. I would suggest if you're in jail right now for marijuana offenses, they open up the doors and let you go home. You can smoke your weed at home. I find it to be obnoxious and a waste of time, but it's changing. And we're going to hear live from the city controller about serious issues with the city budget. 1 o'clock. Got to hear that. A lot going on, as you can tell.
Coming up.
And my beautiful wife.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's here.
Yeah, I'll be here 9 to 10.
Brought her to a Central Catholic dance the other night.
The dance.
Woo!
You look sharp. I saw you with Hall of Famer Terry Totten.
Talk about a diamond in the rough. My wife.
Stop.
Woo! Glory! Some of my college, high school buddies didn't do so well in that department.
Oh, my gosh. Stop.
Hi, Marnie.
Were you there with them?
Yes, she was there. She was so hot.
You didn't post any pictures of this, being, just you and Terry talking.
She's being molested the whole time.
That's a bit of an exaggeration.
Honey, were you the hottest woman at the entire thing?
Whatever you say.
See?
You can't put a woman
in your mind, at least. Thank you.
Put a woman on a spot like
people
that.
People there. The only person who wasn't there was Larry. He had six other events in other places.
I was actually across town.
Yeah, we know. We've heard six
Western
times.
Western Pennsylvania Sports Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
With your guy, Mike Berger. Another central guy.
Aw.
You guys are everywhere.
We own this town. We run this town. We really do.
That's kind of how it goes.
It's a legalized mob. I don't mind.
All right. Here we go. Thanks, Marty. Larry.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.